desde México. Bienvenidos a la Cueva de Soledad con tu hostess, señorita Jay y Eric Anthony.
Is not Antonio?
No, I don't know. Would it be Antonio?
It's your language.
Hi guys, we're here now.
You're listening to the Cave of Solitude for those that need a translation. Your pop culture comic book podcast coming to you from, as Daph J said in her mother tongue, Mexico.
Mexico.
Mayan Riviera, Mexico, to
That's
be exact,
right.
more
mm-hmm.
exact.
Mm-hmm.
Daph J, how are you feeling today?
Sweaty, sticky, amazing.
Are you so happy that you're mad?
You know what? I'm happy. I'm just happy. Last time I was so happy, I was angry. Like I
Can
dare
you explain
you to,
what that means?
It means that, like, you. Okay, for example, I just said I'm hot, right? You know when you're hot, you become uncomfortable, and so you become irritated?
Okay.
That's how happy I was. Like, that's how much the sun
was overwhelming.
Kissing me.
It was overwhelmingly happy.
It was
happy.
Like, oh my, I can't get relief from the happiness. It's too much. It's too much happy. I met a guy named Happy today.
Oh,
and
did
he
you?
Swore to me that was his legal name.
Did you believe him?
No.
Did you buy anything he was selling?
Absolutely not.
No, you did it.
No. That's besides the point. We're here. We're excited. It's a little bit into January, but we still want to do a year in review.
Yeah.
Of top whatevers. No specific list, no specific number.
Of 2018.
Of 2018.
That's the only specific thing we're going with, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, this is... We're into January, but it's like award season, so you got like the Golden Globes happen in January, and then the Oscars and the Grammys, so why not we do our like favorite things of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's award season.
That's
so
right.
This isn't going to be like solely movies or solely music or comic books even. It's just some of the things between shows, movies, music, whatever it was that we
enjoyed
or even discovered
right.
in 2018, because sometimes you discover something that's, you know, a couple years old in 2008 or in the year that you're currently living. And it's like, you know what? That was the year I found it. I want to talk about it. Cool?
Copy.
All right. So this is going to be a free-flowing kind of a freestyle off the top of the head review of the year 2018. I know everybody loves when we do our travel and tourism review. Shout out to Shane Heron, who
our number one fan.
Our number one, who always, oh, wait, why don't you guys just start a tourism show? But there isn't much to say that other than this is great, we're happy, it's unlimited drinks, unlimited food, and the sun is shining when we could be freezing our tushes off,
mm-hmm.
right? And there you go, you got some happy some happy customers here as well. All right, so do you want to kick it off with some of the things that you really enjoy? Like, what? How about movies for you? Let's start off with, like, thinking of some of the movies we went to see this year.
Movies.
2018.
Movies. Oh, no.
You need a refresher again?
No, I think I could do this.
Okay.
Movies, though?
Okay, do TV shows, whatever you like.
Okay, I speak for you.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
When I say...
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong... On because you're an avid Amazon purchaser,
oh.
in which you even know how Amazon knocks some reason. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, we discovered late to the show, but nonetheless, I enjoyed The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Love that show.
It's very good.
You know, you sometimes watch an award show and there's that person who has, you know, the album, the song, or the movie, and the everybody's constantly winning from that movie. And
yeah,
you just,
like, they sweep everybody.
Yeah, and it's just like...
And you're kind of like, what is this?
You know?
It's almost like a favoritism kind of thing.
And
like
you start
the class kiss ass, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's almost like an unprincipled. I was like, no, I'm not into it. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Right?
Everyone's on it. It was kind of like a Shane Heron hipster moment that I had. Where it was like, everyone's on this. I don't want it.
I'm going to wiki it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I forget what... I think we ran out of things to do or watch or what happened.
I was just recommended it by, you know, a coworker who was like... You know,
and a coworker also recommended it to me. And
yeah.
Again, on principle, I was like adamant. Like
I'll
this,
see.
Like this rebellion, like, I will watch it when I want to watch
I'm
it.
I'm ready.
Yeah. And we did it. Surprisingly enough,
I loved it.
You were a total fan. And we actually watched it when the second season was out. So we were actually able to kind of continue
totally
the
storyline
without interruption.
And this is how good the show was, in my opinion. One, it's worth every award that it received. It's well written. It's got a good balance of drama and humor. I especially would highlight the humor aspect because it's not a true story, but I think it's very closely tied into true events.
I could be wrong, and anyone can email or call in or do whatever. What do we do? What do we say? Anyway,
email.
Just reach out to us and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like it has some kind of commentary to do with Joan Rivers, maybe?
Perhaps.
Being a woman, being Jewish, you know, being a little bit, is the word satirical? No.
I think what's just rebellious.
I don't know. She had some balls, that one. Till the day she died.
Right.
You know? And then it was, who was the comedian? Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, he's a character in the television show.
You know, which I think a lot of comedians tip their hats off to in regards to, like, freedom of speech.
Right. Right. Paving the way.
Which, by the way, people, you know, settle down. I don't have to be overly sensitive for everything. My God.
Oh, you're saying everyone's too sensitive about everything.
Today, yeah.
Yeah, it feels
and,
like it.
You know, it seems like it was like that back then, but it seems like that's the culture today, too.
Yeah, it's always
it's like, you know what, we're here
something.
To laugh.
Right.
You know, we went to a comedy show in New York City. We went to
Gotham Comedy Club.
Gotham.
Yeah.
Comedy Club.
Yep.
Gotham Central is a comic book.
That's right.
So, we went to Gotham. And you know what? The host of the show, which was, like, I guess the MC of the comedians, that was one of his opening lines. Kind of like, guys, we're here to laugh. And if you don't like it, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, some people need to just
chill out.
Just relax.
This is the Daphne public service announcement.
You know what?
Chill out. As Mr. Freeze would say.
But yeah, no, it was a really good show.
Yeah, I loved it. It deserved every award it received from the actors, supporting actors, the writers, even the wardrobe. I thought the wardrobe was phenomenal.
You were such a fan.
I was a huge fan of it. And I was saying this before.
And I'm talking about Maisel, like Mrs. Maisel's specific wardrobe.
Yeah,
not the men's,
no.
Not nobody else. It
yeah,
was
she
her.
Was dressed to the tens, not the nines, the tens. We started watching it the second season. We went halfway through the first episode of season two, not realizing that wasn't the pilot.
Yeah.
And I was still engaged in the show.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a second, this says season two, episode one. So we got a whole bunch of episodes we don't even know what's happening here. And as we returned back to episode one of season one, the anticipation built so much more from the little bit that I saw of season two.
Mm-hmm.
And highly recommend it. Put it at the top of your list to watch if you like comedy, if you like, you know, period pieces. It's all there.
Right.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Amazon Pride, totally worth it.
Yeah. Pride or Prime?
Prime.
Okay.
Amazon Prime. Did I say Pride?
I think so.
Well, I'm a prideful Amazon shopper, that's why. So me and Martin Slam Duncan at the beginning of 2018 went through all of the lists of movies that were going to be released throughout the year. Ones that we were interested in watching, ones that we were going to skip, wait for Netflix. And it seemed as though in 2018 there weren't... I've never seen as many movies that I wanted to watch
mm-hmm.
in one calendar year.
Right.
I didn't see all the ones that I wanted to see, of course. But the ones that I had highly anticipated on my list started off with Black Panther.
That's right.
In February.
That feels like so long ago.
Seems like so long ago. But it was 2018. It started off the year with a bang. It was a pop culture sensation. It was a box office, you know, blockbuster. Everything that I thought the movie would be successful, it being a Marvel movie. I didn't think it would be the cultural touchstone that it became.
She's coming back. Sorry to interrupt you. She's coming back. You're going to want something?
No, I'm good. Unless you want something.
Okay.
It lived up to the anticipation. It went above the hype. It was better than I could have expected it to be. And then, not far after that, was Avengers Infinity War. Which of the two did you prefer? Did you have a preference, or are they both up in the same echelon?
Between Infinity War and Black Panther?
Yeah.
I think they were both amazing in their own right. I don't think they're comparable. but I know that they are. Sí, por favor, ¿puedo tener una sangría? Y un mojito con ron blanco, por favor, poco hielo para los dos. Muchas gracias. What was I saying? I think, okay, how do I say this?
Ron uncut. Order that in Spanish.
Black Panther had its, like, it's, I feel like it's in its own category.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It definitely,
it's untouchable.
Yeah.
Uncomparable.
It definitely tackled a couple of different almost genres in a way, even though it's definitely a superhero movie. It appealed to, you know, a culture on a whole other spectrum. And it was something that we'll always remember being that measuring stick, that watermark of this is what could be.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think there's been a movie like that in a very long time that was able to accomplish that.
Uh-huh.
And so on every level that it was trying to perform critically, commercially, culturally, it succeeded. And that's very, very difficult to do.
Yes.
And for that, I give it top marks.
Yes.
Of all movies that came out in 2018, I think it really succeeded. For me, just as far as movies go, Avengers Infinity War was something that I had waited so long to see the culmination of the entire Marvel Universe get wrapped up into this all-encompassing story where, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy interact with the Avengers and Thanos finally comes into the picture full force.
And I agree with that. I think that Infinity War was in it's also in its own category because as much as there were so many characters, the idea to not exchange dialogue with certain, you know what I mean? Like it made it kept it fresh, it kept it interesting. It wasn't predictable that, oh, right, they're all going to be on the screen, even though they were all on the screen.
Yeah.
Or the fact that the bad guy would win, or right, that I don't know, certain relationships would flourish, right? Robert and Thor. Like, who knew that was going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it came from such a different angle. Team Thanos all the way. But, yeah, and I think that's the other thing, going back to what I said, like, seeing the bad guy win, like, that doesn't happen in superhero movies, you know what I mean? Or that I've seen. Like, there's always a resolution, and this time, like, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know. Maybe I'm just ignorant that way, where I didn't know that it was going to be a two-parter, you know? Just like I didn't know the Winter Soldier was Bucky, but someone spoiled it for me.
Oh, please.
Still,
you're still not letting me let that down. Sheesh.
But I think it's those unexpected things, right? That's what makes something stand out. So I really enjoyed that movie, too.
Yeah. And it, for some reason, that thing has been on repeat in our lives. Everywhere we go, it's like constantly
playing. It just won't go away.
Yeah. and the more I see it, I don't get tired of it. It's that good. It was, I think, the first movie out of all of them that I gave a 10 to when we reviewed it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I know I compare the two franchises, but it was one of those movies that this one made me appreciate some of the things before it. Some of the movies before, like, I wasn't a huge fan of Thor Ragnarok when it came out, but seeing how Infinity War played out and how he would interact with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Thor Ragnarok was, I understood the direction they took to prepare me for where this would go. And
right,
I can enjoy that movie on its own.
Right.
But then at the same time, I don't have to watch that movie and still enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's woven so meticulously that it just makes you say, why can't other movies
make it?
Like, what? This is such a bigger feat. And they accomplished it with 18 movies to tie in with each other.
But I think that was the key. They paced themselves. They took their time to tell individual stories and relationship development. Like,
yeah,
there was a investment.
And you felt it when things happened in these movies. You were like, oh, no, not that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you want more details and spoilers of Infinity War, we went 2 hours on an episode talking about it.
It was
so
a long movie.
It was a long movie. Lots happened. And it was 10 years in the making. So
yeah,
there's a lot to cover, a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
Sorry for the ice. I hear it coming through on the microphone, but it's a drink with ice in it.
Why are you apologizing?
It's the feedback. Sometimes it's
all right,
irritating.
So yeah, fun movies.
Fun movies.
Fun movies.
I'm trying to think of Black Klansman. That was another one that I think we both held in high regard to the point that you wanted to purchase it as soon as possible. What for you, what did you like? Obviously, I know what you liked about that movie, but are you generally a Spike Lee fan? Because his movies definitely have a certain look, feel, the way that they're done, the way that they're dialogued.
I am a Spike Lee fan. I appreciate his commentary on life, on what it has been, what it is. Yeah, I like that. I like that movie.
And it's based off a true story as well.
Which, without, I guess, spoiling it, if anyone wants to watch it, it seems like it was the type of story or event that most likely would have gone under the radar or unknown.
Seems like it. You know what I mean?
And for it to now be available for our knowledge and better understanding as to what occurred and what was entailed in this whole thing, I appreciate that kind of insight.
Can you give a brief synopsis without spoiling it, just kind of like the gloss over the story for those who may have not seen it but might be interested in seeing it, if it's on your list of...
I believe, if I give it a proper synopsis without Wiki, it's about a police officer or detective, undercover detective, first black officer of the Colorado Springs, who goes undercover to infiltrate the KKK.
And his partner in crime, who's the other detective, is played by...
Kylo Ren.
What's the dude's real name?
Kylo Ren.
I can't remember now, but Kylo Ren is the first thing that came to my head, too. Adam Driver.
Oh, there you go.
And he's Adam Driver and John David Washington are the two stars, leading stars of the movie. And so one guy is, you know, in the 70s, first, like Daph said, black detective of the Colorado Springs in a predominantly white area. Mm-hmm. And his partner is a Jewish guy. And these two parties are trying to infiltrate the KKK that are in Colorado Springs for criminal activity.
Terrorist activities, right. Really.
And it's pretty intense, especially when you consider that's a true story, true events. And the two parties involved are the primary targets and enemies in day-to-day life of this group. So it is intriguing. And if that doesn't capture your interest, it's a good movie. Definitely, definitely worth watching. Another one out of the superhero realm.
Oh, that took a turn.
No, it's staying in line with Black Klansman.
Okay.
Not in the superhero realm. Oh, okay. Was The Green Book.
Oh, yes. I thought you said... Okay.
Yeah, no.
I misheard. Too many of these.
So The Green Book was an award winner at the Golden Globes, deservedly so. Viggo Mortensen, Mahershala Ali. Another true story of a...
True friendship,
true story.
It was a lovely film.
I loved it.
There's some controversy behind it, behind the scenes, behind the actuals, whatevers. The family of Don Shirley. Is it Don Shirley? The pianist, the classical musician. I don't think the family was too pleased with the result or outcome or how it was told. Mm-hmm. So there's a little negative feedback on that end. However, it didn't take away from...
I didn't think so.
Performance, results, the... what's it called when you get awarded? The
admiration.
The admiration that it got from the...
Critical acclaim.
From the... press people, the Golden Globe people.
Hollywood Foreign Press and the Academy.
No, it was beautifully done. I thought I laughed.
Yeah.
I had moments,
but it didn't.
It didn't get, it wasn't too heavy, which I think, and when it comes to these types of movies with that type of context, it's hard to tell it without so much weight.
Right.
But this one was almost, not that that's a bad thing to have something told in its rawest form, but it was kind of nice to enjoy something without that heaviness, maybe. Like, at first, that was my initial criticism of it. It's like, well, where's the drama?
Yeah.
Like, the real drama. Where's the, you know, this and that.
Where's
and
the marching part?
Right.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you know what? There's probably more to the story, but...
This was their story.
This angle...
Yeah.
It was endearing.
Yeah.
It was warm. It was kind. It was sweet. And I walked away feeling good. As opposed to, they're not comparable, but kind of like what you said, like Black Klansman had a message, it had a movement behind it, it had like this.
It had a bit of an agenda of really trying to,
of course, it
tie into the culture of today and the conversation that we're having today,
yeah,
culturally with the, you know, the current
climate,
you know, the politics and things of that nature. And it's a little heavy-handed at times because you can listen to the dialogue in Black Klansman and they say certain things that are completely fitting for what's happening. Mm-hmm. But you're like, oh, that's a dig at this.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, wake up,
right.
You know, get woke, if
mm-hmm.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what I preferred personally about The Green Book when in comparing these two movies is that in The Green Book, you... Where are you going?
I'm here.
No, I can't hear you well from
I'm here,
there.
I'm coming. I'm just cooling off. Keep going. I can hear you.
So Taff just decided to go into the pool and walk and didn't think the splashing would come into the mic. In The Green Book, it's a one-on-one experience, and I find that people probably have the most impactful changes when you're having that one-on-one human experience with a person as opposed to it being kind of shoved down your throat. And there's like huge movements are extremely pivotal and important. But in The Green Book, you got Tony Lip or Tony Vallelonga, who was the driver of Dr. Don Shirley, who was the pianist going into the southern parts of the United States where there was still segregation. This was pre-Martin Luther King civil rights movement when he decides to go down there and, you know, perform at these little whether it's a private party or a concert hall. And it's so funny how this man was a doctor.
Yeah.
And he was extremely educated and his etiquette was unparalleled. Like he was teaching the Italian driver from the Bronx
how to be proper.
Proper manners,
proper
diction, you know, how to present yourself in a way that would garner the respect that you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like a role reversal in a way, which was refreshing to see. And they really both learned about each other from the other person.
Right.
And that was, it's almost like sometimes you learn valuable lessons more one-on-one.
You extract from other people.
Right.
Sometimes without even realizing it.
So it was a little bit more homely. The movie had a more homely feel in that way where it reaches your heart quicker as opposed to hitting your conscience.
And it was subtle. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
like you said, like with certain movies, there's an agenda. There's a statement being said. And it affects the audience, the viewer.
Right.
This, however, I felt like it was just very... seamless.
Yeah.
Seamless messages
heartfelt.
And heartfelt, you know, moments where you can just appreciate the genuine relationship or development of like between two people.
Right.
Right? It was just a lovely movie and
yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another movie swinging back into the superhero realm that you haven't gotten a chance to see yet, and I hope that when we go back home you do. Oh, look at that iguana. That's a cool looking iguana.
Yeah, he's like white.
Yeah.
That's Did he awesome. Change colors? Oh, there's two of
there's
them.
There's two of them. They're
Are
politicking.
They gonna do it?
I don't think that's the relationship.
Let me give her the thing. Do you have your cup that's empty?
Yes. There you go. Pause for the cause, everybody. 1 second. Here, babe. Here, babe.
I spilled my drink on her.
swinging back into the superhero realm, as I was saying, a movie that you haven't gotten a chance to see, but I hope you do see it, is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I've heard such good things about that movie.
Yeah, it's...
And you keep playing that song on this vacation.
Well, it's fitting, right? It had... I didn't have any real expectations for it. I was going to watch it regardless because I love Spider-Man. I was excited for the fact that it was a Spider-Man being done in animated format, which hasn't been done before, especially for Marvel. This isn't a Marvel Studios movie like from Disney. It's still from Sony. But man, it's easy to say this is the best Spider-Man movie thus far. It had a lot of heart. It had a lot of it was different. You had all of these different, like the Spider-Verse was expanded on. You got to see Peter with Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen and all these things. It was just so much fun.
Wasn't it like a star-studded cast?
It was.
So Nick from New Girl was on there.
He was Peter Parker.
Wasn't Mahershala Ali also on it?
Mahershala Ali was in it as well, yeah.
Who else was in it?
Chris Pine plays a version of Spider-Man in that movie.
Hmm.
Nicolas Cage was in it. John Mulaney plays Spider-Ham. It was, everybody was cast well. It was such a fine balance of humor hijinks with a lot of heartfelt moments. And then the superheroics in it are just a perfect balance. Kind of like what I was saying with Black Panther. For an animated movie, it accomplished all of those things.
Hmm.
And it's very pulsating. I think that's what Adam Chapman labeled it as when we're reviewing it on his show on Comic Shenanigans. I did a whole review with him about the movie. It's got a lot of energy to it, but even still, it packs a punch in where it hits you, where it hits home.
Hmm.
And I think it's going to be one that people are going to remember for a long time.
I want to see it.
I want you to see it. I don't know if you'd want to go to the theater and watch it, but I'm definitely going to buy it.
I think I'll go to the theater now. Like, it seems like the crowd has died down. I'll go see it now.
Yeah, no, it was a ton of fun. I was happy to have been able to watch it with Adam and his family, because he's a super Spider-Man fan himself. But, Spider-Man movies have been hit or miss through the years.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like the current Spider-Man, like Tom Holland. But this was refreshing that it felt like... I almost feel like Spider-Man movies are better in animated form than they are live action. I think it's the character lends itself to that.
Why do you find that is? Why do you think animated movies always do much better on a silver screen than live action movies? Because I find even, like, for instance... What was it? Was it the Justice League? What was the animated movie that was kind of like that?
The Origin. Justice League or War.
War. Yeah. What is the problem here? We've had this discussion before. I've said it before. I've said, you know what? The script is there because basically the dialogue of the comic book, it's written out for you. You just need someone to act it out.
I think you get away with...
Do you think it's just the time constraint?
I think it's the way the time is constrained. I think it's sticking closer to the source material. I think you can get away with things being a little bit cheesier when a cartoon is saying it as opposed to when a live-action, real-life person is saying it. Like I said, I think Aquaman would, for me, my taste, Aquaman would have been great had it been animated. But watching it in, real people delivering these lines, you're like, ugh, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that Spider-Verse is better written than that movie, but I don't want to crap on a movie again. I'd rather talk highly of how much I enjoyed Spider-Verse. You had a question for me the other day. Do you want to make that a separate episode if we ever watch Spider-Verse and we talk about it?
What was my question?
How all these characters come together? Like, what exactly is it?
Yeah,
should
let's
we
reserve
save
it.
That?
Let's
okay.
keep it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll save that for another time because I don't know how well I can explain it, and I think I'd have to prep myself to do it in a way that would make you understand. But I think if you watch the movie, you'd be like, oh, you don't got to explain anything.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay. Yep.
So,
fair enough.
But there is a difference in the comic Spider-Verse where this idea stems from to the way it's presented on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different.
Right.
But, any more movies that come to your mind that you remember seeing this year, whether on Netflix or at the theater? Those are the five for me that really... had an impact. Like, I'll remember 2018 for those, for me. Solo.
At the time, I was like, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was fun. Whatever. It's on Netflix now, and I rewatched it, and I'm like, meh. It was unnecessary, I think.
Take it or leave it. Yeah, kind of. You'd be fine without it.
Yeah. It's a good movie to fall asleep to.
Another television show that I really enjoyed.
Tell me.
On Netflix was Daredevil season 3. Unfortunately, all the Marvel television shows on Netflix seem to be getting canceled after their third or second season, whatever they're at.
But isn't it you that said to me that they're canceling maybe the individual characters thing, but it's because they're actually putting them all together as one?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of speculation and conjecture when it comes to, like, oh, Disney's going to make their own streaming service, so they're going to reserve those characters for that, or maybe they're going to insert them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe or whatever the case may be. And what's strange is that, like I was saying, Daredevil Season 3, I thought it was a wonderful season, picking up from where the Defenders...
Wonderful.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful as far as, like...
I think that's a little...
You didn't like it?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just think that's a little...
too upbeat?
That's generous.
I'd give it a solid 9 out of 10.
Whoa!
It just... There's one episode in Season 3 that I didn't care for at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the show, the character development, the portrayal of the Kingpin from Vincent D'Onofrio, I think it's criminal that he hasn't been acknowledged or in the very least nominated for an award for his performance.
It doesn't mean it's not coming.
Well, if they didn't do it at the Golden Globes, I mean, that's where I, like, that show is to me, out of, I don't think the Marvel movies are all, or Marvel TV shows on Netflix are all that great. In fact, I don't really care for Iron Fist and Luke Cage is here or there at times, but Daredevil has been solid.
Right.
And I think it should have gotten some sort of recognition for how good it is. Did you not enjoy Daredevil? I thought you did, because as soon as we finished the season, you went back to season one like, I love Daredevil.
Thing is, I don't think I remember much of Daredevil up until right now. He got married. Wilson Fisk.
That's right.
Vanessa was a bit of a psycho. Her crazy came out, I think, a little bit more on this season.
A little bit.
Foggy and Karen found out he was alive? Or did they find out he was alive during the Avengers? During the Avengers?
No. They found out that he was alive individually.
That's right, because he died at the end of... Defenders.
That's right.
Misty lost her arm. She got it back. Right? No, that's Defenders. There's too much going on, guys. There's just too much going on.
And this was the thing.
Was it his mom or was it just a sister was helping rehabilitate his faith?
So he
lost his faith.
Yeah. So without getting into all the details of the season, because there's a lot.
Are you indirectly telling me to stop getting into the details? I'm trying to map out in my mind what's going on.
To help you recollect.
Rude. Rude. See, now rude. I'm so happy I'm angry right now. I'm angry.
Well, this story is very reminiscent in a lot of ways to the Born Again comic book graphic novel from Frank Miller, where Daredevil in the beginning is assumed dead. He's found and rehabilitated in the church that he grew up in, and it's Sister Martha.
And the Padre dies.
Keep spoiling the show.
Sorry. No, man. Who cares? It's been what? It's been out for what? Almost a year?
A couple months. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes on in the movie. There's a lot of things reminiscent to classic Daredevil moments from Frank Miller, Brian Michael Bendis, even the Kevin Smith story. With no spoilers or getting into the details of what that is, it's a phenomenal season, and D'Onofrio just totally knocks Kingpin out of the park, from being in prison to reestablishing his empire.
Bullseye's in it
as well. It's really, really good. Like, extremely well done, and a good balance of character arc in making all of these people characters you care about.
Everybody's Crazy came out this season, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you like Daredevil because he's
Are you telling me I liked him? Or are you trying to convince me?
I remember you saying that you really like the way he operates because it's very Batman-esque. Almost, I think...
Yeah, he didn't have the suit this much this season, right?
He didn't have the suit this much. And I think sometimes you almost liked his basic approach to things. He had no tricks. He was just raw, you know, force.
Oh, there's only so much beating a man can take. Mm-hmm. I mean, I stub my toe in the middle of the night and I'm out. I don't know how this guy, I don't know how these guys do it.
Glutton for punishment.
Holy cow.
I just want to say right now the sun is beating on me. I am soaked.
You are a little wet.
Yeah, a little wet. It looks like it came out of the pool. I can't wait to dive in after we're done.
I say you do it right now.
On the show?
Do a splish splash for the pod. Do it. One, two, three.
Oh, that's fresh.
Would it help?
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
I'm good.
That's all it takes?
That's all it takes.
That was a little weak. It was a little,
what did you want?
It was a bit of a pansy.
A swan dive?
That was a pansy
a
dive.
A pansy dive.
But, okay, I get it. Well, back to our regular scheduled program.
Any other shows? Like, you watch Netflix every single day.
Yes. I think we've established I'm a Netflix junkie. And that being said, I do try to be selective about what I watch. But that being said, I've seen so much I've forgotten. I can't recollect.
You know what? I understand that because... I do the same thing with comics where I read so much and I know I've read stuff. I don't remember sometimes when. And it's like, oh, yeah, I read that. And then I forget how much I've actually accumulated in a year.
Right.
A show that me and you didn't watch together, which is rare because we watch everything together. Mm-hmm. I like this Netflix original series called Atypical. You don't even like talking about it. It's about a teenager on the autism spectrum. In high school with his sister, you know, being in school with him. Michael Rapaport is his father. Jennifer Jason Leigh is his mom. I really enjoyed it. It had its, again, the balance of drama and humor, sometimes leaning way more on the drama side, sometimes leaning way heavily on the humor side, but it was a really good show. It wasn't hard to watch. The two seasons out on Netflix now, because it's like 25, 26 minutes in, so you don't feel like this investment of time where it's like hours
minutes
on end.
Minutes or episodes in?
26 minutes an episode.
Okay.
So it's kind of like that sitcom comfortable timeline.
Just enough?
Yeah, but it's not necessarily being played for laughs, but the humor that's in it is natural because the character... Again, being on the autism spectrum, everything is very literal. So when he interacts with his friends or family, the things that he does are naturally funny. Almost like, not to the degree, but almost like a Rain Man.
Right.
So it has, it's very eye-opening in a lot of ways. And I appreciated it. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to season 3. Some of the stuff was upsetting in it, but I think that's the mark of a good television show. But you're not going to watch that one with me. No chance.
No.
I feel like we watched something recently.
The Bodyguard?
Didn't finish that one.
Didn't finish it.
No. You clocked out of that one.
It was, look, the first episode.
Yeah.
It hooked me. Hooked me. Then I fell off.
I got one. Jack Ryan. Amazon Prime once again. That was good.
You know what?
That was really good.
Yeah, it was good.
I didn't think it would be as good. I didn't buy John Krasinski. Is that his name? John Krasinski, Emily Blunt's mm-hmm. husband. I didn't buy him in the role of Jack Ryan.
I didn't buy him because I know someone like him, and I can't take him seriously.
But he did a really good job in stepping into the shoes that have been filled by, I think originally it was Alec Baldwin with Hunt for Red October. That's Jack Ryan.
But and isn't then, Harrison Ford also yeah. Jack Ryan?
Yeah, that's right. So there's been a couple people who have played
I
that
love those
character.
Types of movies.
Yeah.
I can go way back and go and just go in hard with those movies.
Hard.
Yeah, like U.S. Marshal.
Right.
Or like The Fugitive or...
I think the U.S. Marshal was a sequel
it
to
was
The
a sequel,
Fugitive,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To the
I think it so was following Tommy Lee Jones' character.
Right.
As a United States Marshal.
That's right.
Not that I said it out loud, it came to me.
It's hilarious.
That's what it is.
You this year put me on to a new artist that I was not on my radar. It was completely your discovery.
Yes, it was.
Tell me about it. Tell the people about it.
This is not... okay, I'm just going to skip right to the end. She's an artist. She's mm-hmm. a singer. Mm-hmm. Imagine, if you will, a look at the bird just showering. In the
Our
blues.
Pool.
In the blues. Imagine, if you will, a morph, a coming together.
An amalgamation.
Of an Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And an Alicia Keys.
I like it.
And the outcome, what you get out of that, is a Miss Snow Allegra. Spelled with two A's.
And Snow with an H, not a W.
Snow with an H. S-N-O-H. This is a beautiful Swedish artist, singer, who I think was discovered or released something at the age of 14, 15, whatever. Never really came to anything noted. Anyway, I stumbled upon her sound, her vibe. Actually, not too long ago.
No.
Just before the New Year, actually. Just before our New York trip.
Yeah.
And that's when I actually revealed her to you. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't want to tell you that I found this person. I just wanted to one day just play her sound. Estamos bien por ahora, gracias. I just wanted to play her sound, and then I thought to myself, no, I need to share this with my BFF. Hmm. And I'm so infatuated with her, her look, her sound, her everything.
The whole package.
The whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe someone's like, yeah, we know about Snow Allegra. I'm late to the party. I just recently discovered her, and I just enjoy the vibe.
Yeah, and I think that was one of those things where it came out in 2017, but we discovered it in 2018. That was like a perfect example.
Right.
And we've been pumping it this whole trip.
Her latest LP.
That's right.
Would be Feels.
That's right.
And her album cover is kind of like that comic book cover, yeah. That kind of comic book feel where it's like inked and artistic and
it's and like artsy. A cartoonist did it.
Almost. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think the album before that
had the same type of cover.
Same kind of cover. Yeah, I think that's her thing right now.
Yeah.
Who knows? The girl can change her mind, but that's what I've seen, that's what I've enjoyed, that's what I've been vibing to lately, and I'm down with it.
Yeah, good. It was a great find. I enjoy it because I love both Amy Winehouse and Alicia Keys, and if anybody likes that type of vibe, that type of music, definitely check it out. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, she's produced by No ID, who historically is Common's producer, as well as having produced for both... the full-length album of Jay-Z's 444, which was a very well-produced album.
Didn't she collaborate with Drake?
I think she also collaborated with Drake.
Which I didn't even know until recently.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I'm so down for her. And especially now, you know, the older I get, the more bitter I am. And the more impatient I have become. I feel like, it's not that I don't like music. Of course I like music. What human being doesn't like to groove, you know? But I think my preferences have changed as I've grown.
Well, I think that's
As I've matured. And I just like the smooth, you know, that, what is it, that line in The Godfather? That, oh, Lavoie, Lavoie. You know? That's out there. Like, I don't need that rambunctious. Like, depending on the mood that you're in.
You don't need to get turned up.
Nah, man.
I think that's a matter of, as you get older, your variation of moods have more of a range.
It's like when you were a kid, you know? You hate the Brussels sprouts. You don't like spinach. You want the mac and cheese and you want the McDonald's. Let me tell you something.
You still want McDonald's.
Till this day. Filet fish is my jam.
Oh, boy.
My fries.
With nuggets.
And my chicken nuggets. That will never stop. But, you know, your palate evolves. You know, all of a sudden you appreciate the greens and the sautéed onions and that garlic. That... What? Why are you laughing at me?
It just sounds like a combination of bad breath. Sautéed onions and garlic.
When you say it like that, that's terrible. But, you know, like all of a sudden, like your palate expands. You know, it's like also too, like ten years ago, it was just like pina coladas and Bahama Mamas and, you know, like all that fruity
Miami
stuff.
Miami Vice, yeah.
You know, now I want just a mojito, or just I want a glass of wine. Like, all of a sudden, the things I didn't think I wanted or would appreciate, I'm taking them in now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's the thing. An expanded, when your palate and tastes expand, your, you know, I want to play this type of music to match this mood. Whereas when you're younger, you're just into what you're into.
Yeah.
And you just want to listen to that. And
and you're ignorant. I'm sorry. When I was young, I was ignorant. I played music as loud as I wanted. I didn't care who I was, you know, interrupting.
That's an energy level too, right?
Of course it is. But it's like I appreciated it now. Like, you know, for instance, at this resort, there's the party side. And then there's the relaxing side.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I was on the party side. And I took it as it came.
Right.
However, this year, just 1 year later, all of a sudden, I'm like, nope. I don't want no ruckus. I don't want that, like, turn up type of thing. I just want to chill. There's a reason why I picked an all-adult,
right,
exclusive resort.
Yeah, you want quiet.
I
want
to just leave me alone.
Right.
Just leave me alone. You know? But yeah, it's all dependent on the mood and the moment, and I feel like I've grown.
So this is all of you, this is all of this explanation is as to why you like Snow Allegra.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I just want to chill out. I want to zone out without feeling ridiculous, you know?
I got you.
Yeah.
Is there anything else from 2018 that were highlights for you? Traveled a lot.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that chirp?
I did, and then I heard you go.
I know. I'm sorry. That was by accident. I don't know. How about you? That was my turn. How about you? How about you?
One thing I do want to put some attention on. One, Mocha Fest was incredible. Going to that with you and being able to interview the writers and creators of...
That was 2018.
That was 2018.
No,
of
was
March.
It?
Yeah, it was. It was 2018. 2018 was packed with things that you don't realize sometimes until you think back. Yeah, it was April. It was April 2018.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a highlight.
It was a huge highlight.
Oh, man.
Italy.
Loved it.
We went to Italy 2018 as well. But on a whole, like the podcast...
Hey, man.
I had a really great time. I was on the fence at the beginning of the year of, like, I didn't have that gumption, as it were, to, like, I didn't feel inspired. And all of a sudden, it kicked in. And I think me and you going to New York, and I said both to Martin Slam Duncan of the Fastball Special and to Shane Heron, they...
Shout out to Martin.
They helped me get out of, like, a little bit of a funk that I was in. And then, of course, the Mocha Fest happened, and... Then, you know, I did a couple of episodes with Adam Chapman, Comic Shenanigans. Like, the podcast world kind of opened up. And I got interviews with people that were kind of on my bucket list. So it was great. And I just want to, if any one of those people who were on the show, like local Toronto people who agreed to be on the show, thank you so much for doing that. Because I had a great time meeting up with people like Sam Noir and Sean Daly. And, you know, when me, Sam, and Kevin Boyd did our Spider-Man spectacular where we talked about Spider-Man for hours on hours on end, we had to get kicked out of the joint. Like, there's a lot of highlights.
Right.
And camaraderie that I got to experience.
And time is a valuable currency.
Yes,
you
totally.
Know? And that's something that I'm sure it comes across from you, that how much you appreciate that.
Yeah, 100%. So everyone who gives of their time and then... Also, just kind of how things fell into place, and you had a lot of great experiences, even going to like TCAF with Shane and getting to interview people there. It was great, and this year was like a hallmark year as far as podcasting was concerned. Like, it really broadened, and great things happened. So I'm looking forward. Oh, thank you. Yeah, so it was
even the birds celebrate.
And you took a bit of a hiatus on the show, so now it's nice to have you back as well.
Well, thank you.
For the last couple episodes.
Thank you.
People were asking. Did this person replace Daft J? Like, where is she? What happened?
You know what it was.
What was it?
I was sleeping. I was sleeping. I had things to do.
Netflix to watch.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it wasn't nothing personal on the show. Nothing at all. It's just, you know, sometimes you feel like you don't really have much to contribute, and I don't want it to... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm back. I'm here. This is fun. This is pleasant. My God. The sun is shining, the green from the trees, the blue from the water, the chirping of the birds. There's nothing better.
And the sipping of your mojito.
Wow.
We switched drinks. I don't know if you noticed that. He took mine and finished it.
Anything else? Any favorite foods?
Favorite foods? I think this last New York trip was pretty great, trying different foods.
Hey, man, I had the best macaroni and cheese of my life.
That was great macaroni and cheese.
Did we talk about that?
We did. We did the New York episode. Oof. It was a jam-packed year with a lot of great highlights. And the other thing, too, like I was talking about the podcast, but not just for mine, but also being featured on other people's. Like, I got to be with on Martin on his show a number of times, which was always a lot of fun. And he hosts us at his home, which is always really great. Of course, Adam Chapman had me on his show for... He had his 600th episode. 600.
Wow. How long has he been doing that
for? He's been doing it not that long, but he's like clockwork. Every week he's got like three episodes ready to rock.
He's
on fire, yeah. And then recently I was on the Marvel Epic Marvel podcast, where they... Curtis Finley asked me to be on his show for a book that they were doing like a book club for Marvel 2-in-1. So it was like, that's just as much.
You've been pretty hot yourself.
Yeah, it's expanding the universe and you know, making friends with people through podcasting has been quite a joy for me. Not something that I intended to do when I started, but it's been great. Yeah.
Excellent.
So 2018 was overall a thumbs up.
Amazing. Maravilloso.
What we should do next, while we're still here, is do what we're looking forward to in 2019, maybe like movies or television shows that are coming out. Did you up for that?
I'm looking forward to sleep.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, we skipped the cold front that hit Canada this week by complete fluke. Now, obviously, you don't plan for these things, right? But yeah, like I'm such an advocate of, for anyone who's, just get out and do it. Just get out. Just do it. Just go away. Take a break. You need that mental and emotional and physical
regeneration.
Get it together thing. Why are you laughing?
Where would you be if I didn't finish your sentences?
I'd be stuck on stupid. I can admit to that. I'd be stuck. I'd still be hemming and hawing about my original thought from episode like one. I'd still be stuck.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, this was good. This was fun. I feel like there was not. I mean, did we say much at all?
We probably forgot a bunch of things.
Hey, man, we did TV.
We did a couple of things.
We did the movies.
We did our movies.
We did a music thing.
Yes, you did. You know, before we finish musically, my boy, Mr. Haz, who was featured on the show, dropped his mixtape in the summer, and it was solid, top to bottom.
Yes, it was.
Happy to be a part of it in some capacity. So for those who are wanting to listen to some good old-fashioned, original
quality
hip-hop, check out Haz. 1+1=2 was his mixtape that he put out there.
He's good at math.
And it was a really great. He's got a lot more music in the chamber to come, and I'm really looking forward to 2019, what he's got in store.
Hey.
All right. If you want, email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us at Cave of Solitude on Instagram. And we are going to be back very soon, hopefully while we're still in Mexico.
Hopefully. If not, this was a very special, unique poolside podcast today.
I'll always remember it.
Right?
Right. Year in review, 2018.
Can we just say words that come to our brain right now so that we remember this when we look back or think back and rehear this podcast? We're like, ooh, yeah. I'm gonna say
alcohol.
Tingle.
Tingle. Heat.
Green.
Blue.
White.
Sun.
Hot.
Sexy.
Shades.
Mojitos.
Her.
I think we're done.
We're done now.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Signing off. This is Eric Anthony and Daph J.
What did you say? We're leaving?
Yeah. Say
okay,
bye
guys.